You know, water carries with it great symbolism throughout the Bible. We find numerous Old Testament prophecies that we look at with regards to millennial times that speak of a time when the waters will be healed. We read about a time when the deserts will blossom, and we know that in order for the deserts to blossom, there has to be a healing of that cycle where there's actually water that is falling in the desert to be able to have the flowers bloom and grow in desert areas. Back in Ezekiel chapter 47, when it speaks to that millennial temple, that vision that Ezekiel had, it speaks to waters that literally flew that would flow out of that temple from the threshold. This is all taking place during the millennium. We read about how that water flowed out, and as it went further and further out, it got deeper and deeper, and everything that it touched was healed, whether it was the land, the flora, the fauna, whatever it might have been, everything was healed. We even find in the gospel account of John that the apostle John gives the account of Jesus Christ crying out in the book of John when he made the statement, speaking of Jesus Christ, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." There is something about water that can be very, very soothing. If you've ever been camping and you've had opportunity to perhaps camp by a brook or a stream or a small river, and you hear that water as it's flowing, as it's hitting the rocks, perhaps in the river or the stream, there's a soothing sound that it gives. It's almost a rhythmic type of a sound that can almost put you to sleep. Or sometimes if you're at a tropical area, you hear that constant beat of the waves that are crashing on the shore, crashing on the sand. And again, it's just that constant rhythmic beat that sort of soothes a person. It has been said that life can be likened to water, specifically a river. Now, as life is like a river, we also find that it is not always smooth sailing, that there can be rapids and there can be fast-moving water. And when we go through life and we think of this particular analogy of life being like a river, we also come to understand that there's a time when we feel like we need to have that wide spot in the river. If you've ever been at a river or been canoeing or boating on a river, you know that when you come to that narrow area where the river or the stream will narrow, you find that the water begins to move much faster. And if there is rocks and other debris that's in the river and it tumbles over that rocks and those debris, it creates those rapids, that faster moving water, because you got the same amount of water in a wide space that's moving very slowly, and then it comes into that narrow area and it's all trying to get through at the same time. And it creates this very rapid, this very fast-moving water. In life, it can feel like we're in the middle of those rapids, we're in the middle of that fast-moving water, and we just simply are looking for, when are we going to get out of these rapids? I think as we went through everything we've gone through over the last, 14, 15, 16 months, it sort of feels like, when are we going to get out of these rapids? When are we going to get out of this fast-moving water? And there are times that we simply look to and ask the question, when are we going to find that wide spot in the river? You know, you get to that wide spot in the river. When I used to go on whitewater canoe trips, we would shoot those rapids and we would go in our canoes and whatnot and flying down the river. And it was all fun and excitement for that period of time as you're going through the rapids. But even with all of that excitement that you're going through, you come to that point where you just come out and the water just flows out, the river widens and everything sort of slows down, and you can just sort of stop and breathe and relax a little bit because you've come through that narrow area, come into this wide spot where the river is not moving as fast. We always want to find that time when we're in the middle of the rapids saying, when are we going to have the wide spot in the river? When are we going to have the time when the water just simply slows down? Turn with me over to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23 is a very familiar psalm. It is a psalm that starts with that statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when we look at this particular psalm, this is a psalm that we actually sing. I think we all recognize this particular psalm being one that is in our hymnal. And there's tremendous meaning to some of the words, or all of the words, but specifically with regards to what we're going to talk about this afternoon in this particular split sermon. Psalm chapter 23, let's begin in verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So we find here something that is very, very important. If we liken again the sheep-shepherd analogy with Jesus Christ being the great shepherd, and we are the sheep, he is one that leads us to lie down in a green pasture. That's where you're going to take the sheep so they can graze, so they can feed, so they can have the necessary nourishment and nutrition that they need in order to grow and to thrive. He also tells us in verse 3 that he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. In other words, that's what a shepherd does. He points the sheep in the direction that they need to go. Don't head in that direction. There's danger over there. Don't head in that direction. There's danger over here. We're going to go down this particular path. So he's leading the sheep in the direction that he wants to go. But here in verse 2, he makes a statement along with the first two things that I mentioned. He says, "He leads me beside the still waters." He leads me beside the still waters. We understand that as the river of life flows, from time to time, we need a wide space in the river. We need a time to slow the pace down. Since we realize that we can't stop the river, there's no way to stop that river. The question then is, how do we move to that wide spot in the river? Here we found in verse 2, he says, "He leads me beside the still waters." So how does he do that? How can we embrace that? How can we understand this still water that we all want to be in? Rapids can be exciting, as I said before. Rapids can be exhilarating, but they can be exhausting. And there are times that we just simply need some still waters. How can we get there? How can we get to this wide space in the river? The answer is very clear. A wide space is found in thanksgiving. A wide space is found in thanksgiving. The title for the sermon today is, "Do We Need a Wide Space?" Now, I'm going to answer the question before we get through everything here. The answer to that question is, a wide space can be found in thanksgiving. If we need a wide space, it is found in thanksgiving. So then the next question is, well, let's put some meat on the bones of that particular answer. What does it mean that a wide space is found in thanksgiving? Let's take a look at some scripture here at the beginning. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100, and let's begin in verse 1. Psalm chapter 100, and let's begin in verse 1. Notice the first statement in this particular psalm. Psalm chapter 100, verse 1, he says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands." Not just to proclaim with gladness, but to shout, to lift up your voice, to give thanks to God for what he has done. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. Therefore, it makes sense that based upon the fact that we belong to him, he wants to give us, as we read in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 2, to lead us beside the still waters. Going through a rapid journey, or a river journey, you're going to have to go through rapids. You cannot avoid it. Sure, you could simply say, well, I'll take everything out of the canoe and I'll portage past the rapids, put everything back in, and then go ahead and go down the river. And you can do that. I've done that before when you could not pass those rapids because they were too shallow. But it exudes a tremendous amount of energy and effort to do that. in trying to avoid the rapids. Sometimes you have to go through the rapids. You just simply have to. There's no other way around it. Now, at the end of the other side of that rapids, the rapids don't last forever. There is that still water. But we know and we understand that God has made us, and so He understands that we are in those rapids. He understands what we are going through. And if we look at this from the standpoint of needing that wide space, God, give me that wide space, we find it in thanksgiving. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You know, we talk about the mercy of God. The mercy of God is boundless. We don't always understand fully and completely how that mercy operates, how it works and it functions, but we do understand that His mercy is forever and His mercy is boundless for us. He gives us that mercy in times of need. And so these are things that we can give thanks for. As He said here in verse 1, we need to think of that from a standpoint of shouting for joy with what God has done for us, extolling Him in thanksgiving to the highest regard. Now, what's interesting to me when I read this particular chapter, and again, anything to deal with, again, having to tell someone to be thankful, it seems odd and it seems strange given the fact of all the blessings that God gives us. We are, however, products of our descendants Israel, and we like to complain. We often look at the Israelites complaining in the wilderness. We look back in history and we look at everything that God did for them and say, wow, they were really ungrateful. Look at everything that God did for them compared to based upon what had happened, what occurred, how they delivered Him, the supernatural divine miracles that took place. Why couldn't they be more thankful? At times, myself included, I can see myself in that same situation of simply not looking at the things that God has blessed me with, but rather, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done this? These are things that we look at and we simply wonder, why are you continuing to allow me to be in these rapids? Why aren't you giving me a wide space in the river? When the answer ultimately is, I have the ability to be in that wide space, by being thankful to God and proclaiming His greatness with the things that He has given for us. When we're looking for a wide space in the river, it's generally because our focus has been on the river, the rapids, the rocks, and the what ifs. You know, I remember a number of times in those whitewater canoe trips that I would make in northern Ontario when I was in high school, and some of the challenges that we would enter into with some of those journeys that we made, and we had our share of some excitement, some white-knuckle times. There was one trip I remember that there were six of us, three canoes, two apiece, and I think we broke three paddles to the point why you got to the end of the trip. And for those of you that don't know, you don't have a little porta-potty somewhere when you're out on the trail. Your bathroom is wherever you take your little spade and you go dig a hole, you know, so to speak. Try not to be too graphic so that people, oh, why are you talking about that? So you literally have to find a stick. You take that spade, and we'd always take duct tape with us. That's man's universal thing to just to help everything. Duct tape is wonderful. It's just fantastic. I go hiking, and I have just a roll of it around my water bottle. But you take that, and we were literally using, a couple of us were having used this spade on a stick to use as a paddle because we had busted these oars, or busted these paddles, not oars, but paddles. You're sitting there in the middle of all these things, and you're recognizing, wait a minute, what happens? What happens if we capsize? What happens if we hit the rocks? What happens if we lose our paddle? Well, you make do, right? You make do. Something happens, something occurs. The perspective often deals with the immediacy of the problem that we face. We're in the midst of a problem, and we want it solved now, myself included. Because we as human beings are not patient by nature. We simply are not. As I've said before, and you well know, we live in an instant society. At sundown this evening, if you want to go trade in your car and buy a new car, you can do that with no money down. Because you can get instant credit. You have the ability to get whatever you want. Nothing is denied from you because society has made this whole situation of instance and immediacy of whatever the problem you face. So when we're dealing with a particular challenge, a particular issue, when we're in the middle of that rapids and we want the problem solved now, our perspective has to change. Our perspective has to change. We have to relax. We have to take a deep breath of focus of energy on what we have and not what we don't have. See, this is where Thanksgiving comes in. We begin then when we look at what we do have rather than what we don't have. It gives us the wide spot in the river. It gives us the wide spot in the river. And when we look at what we do have, and we come before God rejoicing and thanking Him for what we do have, wow, it's amazing how the waters seem to calm and they become stilled. Now, the problem may still be there. Don't get me wrong. We're not sort of thinking away the problem, right? You've got a particular health issue, health problem, right? You're sitting there, I've got a heart flutter. I've got diabetes. Well, I'm just going to think it away with good thoughts. Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. But when we focus again on the ability that I can have a particular diet, I have the ability to do certain things that I can help, I can move out of the rapids of whatever that health condition is to a point of simply saying, oh, I'm not in a wide space now. The rivers are calming down here. We begin to move out of those rapids and the fast water, and we're finding, okay, I can breathe again. I can calm down. I can put my feet up on the gunwale of the canoe and kind of take a minute and go, I can catch my breath. I can catch my breath. There are three Thanksgiving reminders when it comes to a wide space being in Thanksgiving that I want to address this afternoon in this message. And again, I think these are all important to really sort of piece it together in terms of how Thanksgiving is that wide space in the river. What are those three Thanksgiving reminders? Thanksgiving reminder number one. We have to be thankful, or let me rephrase that. Being thankful is the responsibility of a Christian. Being thankful is the responsibility of a Christian. A Christian is someone who follows Jesus Christ. If we are disciples of Jesus Christ, then part of the responsibility that we have is to be thankful. If you want to know what the converse of that is, look at the examples of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were not thankful. Well, when they said they were thankful, they told Jesus, we're thankful we're not like you because we're not illegitimate. We're thankful that we're not like you because Abraham is our father. We're thankful that we keep the law, but but you and your disciples, your followers, they don't. There was a condescending attitude they had. It wasn't true thankfulness. But when we come and understand our responsibility as a Christian and to be obedient, we understand that we are obedient to God's law. But there's another aspect that we have to understand, that we are to be thankful. We are to be thankful for this way of life that we have been called to. We ought to be humbled by the knowledge and understanding of the calling that God has given to us. Some people can look at that calling from an arrogant standpoint. Look how great I am. I'm called one of God's chosen people. I've been called now a child of God. Or the other side of that is to look at and say, we are but a little flock on the face of this earth. Why me? We don't dwell on it, but we give thanks for it. We often think of the requirements like contact with God through prayer, studying of His Word to show ourselves approved. These are things that are responsibility that we have before God. But we cannot neglect the quality of thankfulness. We cannot neglect the quality of thankfulness. The Apostle Paul did not neglect the attitude of thankfulness. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, and notice verse 15. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul's making it clear in these three verses that whatever we do, we need to do it with thanks. When we are in the middle of a fast-moving river, when we are in the middle of the rapids, it is easy to look at the rapids and lose sight of what we have rather than the things that we lack. This is again where we have to change the perspective and think in terms of being a Christian and my responsibility. My responsibility is to maintain contact with God, have a good relationship with Him. My responsibility to God is to be obedient to Him and what He tells me to do. That is true. But there's the other side of it that goes along with that as well, and that is to be thankful for what comes at us. To be thankful for what is given to us. We can dwell on the negative. We can dwell on the negative. It will keep us in the rapids of life if we dwell on the negative. We've got to go back to the positive. We've got to, again, be reminded of our calling to be a positive individual. Think of it from this particular standpoint. We believe, and again, I hope that you believe as I believe, that God is not done calling people into His church. So we are a landing area. When people are called, they're going to come through the door. And they're going to come through the door in the Northwest. I believe personally, again, I say that personally, that's my way of saying this is speculation, but I believe that it's going to happen predominantly here in the Northwest because of the depravity that exists in the Northwest. I believe that. Now, you say, well, can you prove it? Well, no, I can't necessarily prove it. I can only look and see what I see in society. I can see the depths of where we've gone here in the Northwest, actually up and down the West Coast. I don't want to leave California out of the mix. And see and understand that there's going to come a time when people are going to want to, again, understand what's going on, and God may use that particular event in their life or events in their life to call them. And then they come through the door, and what happens when they meet someone who complains about the rapids? Man, this life is just terrible. It's just awful. It's tragic. Instead of meeting someone who is thankful for what they have been given. We need to think of it in terms of the positive aspect of being a Christian. How would Jesus operate? How would He function and operate in the given time? He's not going to look at things and simply go, well, no, it does exist. I'm not going to wish it away. But He will always maintain that positive attitude. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 79 and verse 13. Psalm chapter 79. Psalm chapter 79. Psalm chapter 79 and verse 13. Psalm chapter 79 and verse 13. He says, so we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. In other words, when we are giving thanks, we are also to others showing thanks. These are a people that not only give thanks to God, but they also show thanks to others around them. These are a people that are doing two things. Brethren, when we concentrate on being thankful as a faithful member of God's family, it centers our focus on Him. Again, remember I talked about the what ifs before. What if we hit the rocks? What if we capsize a boat? What if we lose a paddle? The thankfulness centers our focus right back on God where it needs to be. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 Notice verse 2. He starts this particular statement again. We know he's not talking to the world. We know that he's talking to us. The Apostle Peter is talking specifically to us. How do I know that? Notice the very first word here in verse 2. Elect. He's not talking to the guy out in the street. He's not talking to the person at the front desk here at the hotel. He's not talking to the person out on the street over there. He's talking to each and every one of us. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You can look at an inheritance and say, I wonder if it's going to be there when the person that dies is going to give me that inheritance, because it's a physical thing. But the inheritance that is spiritually reserved for us will not go away. It does not pass away. It does not fade away. It is reserved there for each and every one of us. The illogical and crazy of society would lead us to think, what in the world? You're going to wait on this thing that's coming? You're going to worry about this thing? Get what you can now, because what's now is all important. But we understand that we are looking for something far greater out there. We know that darkness sits upon the face of the earth. It is a veil of darkness that exists. That veil has been lifted from us. And we see. We see. Being thankful for being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ, is thankfulness that that veil has been lifted. What's the second area of thanksgiving that we should have? Second area of thanksgiving or thanksgiving is being thankful changes our perspective. Now, again, I sort of touched on this earlier in that first point. Being thankful changes our perspective. Every one of us all has a perspective. Now, when it comes to biblical things, hopefully that perspective is the same. We can talk about a sporting event. We can talk about a particular, you know, we can say, well, my perspective is this team is going to win this particular championship. I believe this particular driver is going to win this particular auto race. Well, that's fine. That's your perspective based upon that. But the perspective that we have in terms of this life and what it leads to and what is waiting for us is, again, the understanding we should all have. Sometimes we have to change our perspective in terms of understanding what is there waiting for us. Being thankful will always change our perspective. Again, I won't go into specifics, but I will simply tell you, as I've sort of exhausted that through the years, when my wife and I went to the feast in 2014 in Malawi and Zimbabwe, it changed our perspective tremendously in terms of people going to the feast and why they go to the feast. You know, we're putting together everything for Alaska, and our AV head and our auditorium head are taking a look at the seats, and we were looking at how many people we're going to have, and the fact that it's going to be very tight in that room. I mean, we look right now, we say, well, it's kind of tight in here. Well, imagine if you had half the space with the same number of people in here. It's going to be very tight. You know, you've got a mother's room that's on the second floor where we're going to be in Alaska. You've got this particular situation, that particular situation. You sit there and go, well, your perspective thing, why couldn't we get a better place? Why does it have to be this? You know, I want to be at a feast site where I have an empty chair on the other side of me. I don't want to have to sit next to somebody. Or I want this, or I want that. Or usually it's somebody who wants a five-star hotel at Motel 6 prices. You know, that's not going to happen. I want to have a Michelin, what is it, four-star meal at Mickey D prices. Well, so do I, but that's not going to happen, right? You have to change your perspective. We all have a perspective. It's much about the idea, as we all know, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Some people go through life and the glass is always half empty. Do we tend to view what we don't have rather than what we do have? It's a common problem of the physical mind. It's a common problem. Now, the thought can enter our mind from time to time. You can sit there and you can drive a car and say, you know what, I see some car whipping down the road and, you know, some Jag electric SUV going. I'm like, wow, that'd be kind of neat to have that. But I'm not all depressed going, here I am driving around my Jeep Cherokee and I can't have a Jag electric SUV. I'm just grateful that the engine light's not coming on in the car, right? You have to change your perspective. We change our perspective. We understand and realize this is a problem with the physical mind, but we are told to be different. We are physical human beings. These are these shells that we have, but we are seeking this spiritual transformation. We are trying to move from the physical to the spiritual. Now, it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge. We are challenged by things that come at us physically, and we have to respond in a spiritual manner. We are gods, and as such, we should be working towards taking our perspective to the God plane level, right? If we are one day going to be on that plane of being again kings and priests with Jesus Christ, does it not make sense that we should be operating and moving our perspective to the spiritual plane? I'm 100% sure that Jesus Christ is not concerned whether I drive a Jeep or a Jaguar. He's not, because that is physically minded. The perspective that he wants from me is, what is my mind focused on? Where is my perspective? Where is my perspective? Psalm chapter 92. Let's go over there for a moment. Psalm chapter 92. Psalm chapter 92. Notice beginning here in verse 1. Psalm chapter 92 and beginning in verse 1. He says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name of the Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." Now, he does not get into specifics here of what those works are, does he? He doesn't. But what we see here is a thankful attitude in looking at the perspective of God's work, his kindness, his faithfulness, his intervention. These are all things that we look to and understand and realize what he is doing for us, not focusing on what we do not have. Notice Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. He says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are, and all we are the work of your hand." Let's be clear here. The clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. I have seen people, and I'm sure you've seen them as well, work with clay on a potter's wheel. I have yet to see any clay talk back to the potter. We are the clay in the hands of God. Our perspective that we face can be difficult because he is working and he is molding and he is shaping us. We have to be reminded of that. And we have to be reminded from the perspective, you're the potter, and I'm the clay. When we do that, it changes the perspective, and we recognize that as he is forming us, just like that potter on the wheel is forming that clay with his hands, he can put pressure on certain areas and it can create little indentations in that particular bowl or whatever it is that he's making. He can take one particular thumb or a finger or a fingernail and just, he can move. He can take an instrument and he can put a groove or carve something into that as it's spinning around. We're the clay. He is the potter. Notice over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go over there for a moment. One more passage of scripture on this point before we move on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, notice verse 8. He says, "But let us who are of the day be sober." Not talking about not being drunk. He's talking about being right-minded. That's when we read the word sober, it means to be right-minded. But let us who are of the day be sober, be right-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the perspective. There's the perspective here. We are not here again to, again, get the anger of God. We are there to understand and realize that we are obtaining, we have been given this great salvation. We are on our way to the kingdom of God. That's where the perspective must be. Don't focus on the rapids. Don't focus on the rapids. Think of what we've been given, and that will move us to the calm, still waters. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. I lied. One more scripture. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Notice what he says here. Again, breaking in the middle of his thought. We read part of this before. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always. So am I supposed to give thanks when I'm in the middle of the rapids? Yes. Yes. He didn't say, give thanks except when you're in the middle of a trial. Give thanks except when you're coming right at that rock that's going to split your canoe in two. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the midst of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it do? It changes our perspective. Thanksgiving and finding that still water requires us to be thankful. It changes our perspective. It changes our perspective. What is the third and the final area that we need to be cognizant about? Being thankful focuses us on the big picture. Being thankful focuses us on the big picture. Again, as I've said before, having been in those rapids before, physically in a canoe, on a whitewater canoe trip, you are in the moment in time. And it can be hard. I'm not thinking about the end of the trip when we go to Dairy Queen and we gorge ourselves on hamburgers and French fries and all the other junk food we can find because we've been eating deep dehydrated food for 4 days and you're just craving something bad for you. I'm in the middle of the rapids. How am I going to get through this? I've got to think about the big picture. I've got to think about the big picture. Okay. Spiritually speaking, we're in the middle of those rapids. We're facing that rock. We've got to think about the big picture. We've got to think about the kingdom of God. We've got to think about eternity. We've got to think about the fact that this is but a moment in time. These are the things we have to focus in on. Notice over in Philippians. Let's spend a little bit of time here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice carefully. It's not wrong to ask for something. It's not wrong to say, get me out of these rapids. But he says, do it with thankfulness. Do it with thanksgiving. Let that supplication be heard with thanksgiving. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through that prayer, it keeps us grounded. It gives us that wide spot in the river. It gives us peace. If you've ever had that experience before, I know that I've had it repeatedly. When I am anxious, when I am troubled by something, and I've got to simply pause, I've got to stop, and I've got to pray. As I get through that prayer, I find the wide space coming. Now, the problem may still exist. It may be out there. But I have mentally come through this, and I'm concentrated, and I'm thinking on these things. I'm praying to God, and that is that peace of God that is being given to me when I'm asking Him for that peace. Get me out of these rapids, but I'm calmed, and I'm giving that understanding and realization that I'm thinking of the kingdom of God. I know that's my destination. I just need to guard my mind and not allow these things, not allow these rapids to affect me in an adverse way. keep my heart and my mind guarded. Don't allow myself to get trapped into thinking about the immediacy of what's going on in the moment in time. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, notice carefully the wording he used, praiseworthy, meditate on these things, concentrating on the things that we can be thankful for and in turn give thanks to God for that. That's focusing on the big picture, is it not? Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace be with you. Learn and do as you have shown. If you see other people that have gone through challenges, you talk to them, you find out how they dealt with certain things that came at them. These are the things that we go back to. These are the things that we receive and we look to, we focus in on, and the peace of God that we seek, we find. We find by, again, focusing in on the big picture. Let's turn over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Focusing in on the big picture is so extremely important. Changing the perspective is important. The importance in understanding that thankfulness is a requirement and a responsibility for us. They are all intertwined together. If you're keeping track of what we're talking about here, these things are all intertwined together. Psalm 107, beginning in verse 21, he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Think about the big picture. We go back to the plan of God, which we are in the middle of rehearsing right now, and we are reminded that his plan is perfect. No one is left out of it. You know, we're living in a time right now in our world, or in our little nation here, that people are talking in terms of not equality, they want equity. Again, I don't believe with that particular statement. I believe that God treats all with equality, but in terms of outcomes, we know that there are different outcomes for different people. I've made that statement before, parable of the talents. They were not all given the same thing. They did not all receive the same reward. Here's my point. When you look at the plan of God, there is equality there because every man, woman, and child has been or will be given that opportunity to be part of God's family. That is the big picture. That is what to focus in on. Those are the things that we should be thinking about. Giving thanks for the fact that God is going to give every human being that opportunity to be part of his family. That is the ultimate inclusiveness. It truly is. And nothing that man can do can possibly match that. Because again, the way God thinks is so much higher than the way that man thinks. Brethren, we are all on the river, and that river takes us to the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, we all must face whitewater rapids. Having been there before physically, it can be exhilarating, but it can also be exhausting at times. Sometimes we feel, spiritually speaking, as if we have been in the rapids for so long, we just want some calm water. We need a wide spot in the river where everything can just slow down. I would submit to you that that is found in our thanksgiving before God. Our thanksgiving before God changes our focus. It changes our perception. As we continue our journey and we feel the need for a wide spot, let us look to God and look to thanksgiving. It is there where the still waters flow.